Hello, and welcome to the Dark Holidays mini-season 2020. I'm David Allan Voiles, the host and creator of Dark Corners, and I'd like to offer three episodes of Yuletide Terror designed to put you in just the right holiday spirit. I do want to remind our listeners that Dark Corners is a horror podcast, and that stories may contain content disturbing to some listeners, so discretion is advised. First up in our holiday miniseries is the story Up on the Rooftop, narrated by yours truly, with music created especially for this episode by Mombi Yuleman. Up on the Rooftop by David Allan Voiles. Bobby and Cindy hopped into their bunk beds, Bobby into the top bunk as he was much less likely to roll out of it during the night than his restless little sister. The children propped themselves up with extra pillows after they were all settled under their blankets to listen to their grandfather's story. Visiting the wigwam was always fun since the children had so many things to do at this rustic two-story mountain cabin. Bobby thought it was neat how his grandfather's house had a name, but that was only a small part of why he liked to go there. A typical day might include walking with Gramps on the many wooded trails and finding arrowheads that might be 200 years old, wading in the streams to look for crayfish and salamanders, and when it was cold enough, as on this snowy Christmas Eve, building a fire in the old stone fireplace. Every day ended with Grandpa's stories at bedtime. He was such a good storyteller that even his most outlandish tales seemed believable. Christmas Eve was the best time of all to visit, but this Yuletide evening, Bobby felt, was special. Gramps often asked the two children whether they wanted to hear a story about when I was a good little boy or when I was a bad little boy. Amidst giggles, the children invariably chose to hear about when Gramps was bad. On this Christmas Eve, instead of offering the traditional choice, he began a bit differently. Gramps placed an oil lamp on the tall dresser that stood opposite the bunk beds and cut off the overhead light. Once he settled himself in the old rocking chair, the yellow glow from the lantern created shadows on the old man's face that made him seem slightly sinister. The knot holes in the pine walls looked like scowling eyes peering out of a dark forest. It was the perfect setting for scary storytelling in the old Yuletide tradition. "Ready?" the old man asked as he crossed one leg over the other and lay his clasped hands in his lap. "Ready," the two voices chimed together. Gramps took a deep breath and began. "It was Christmas Eve at last," he began, and Nancy was extremely excited even though she was sleeping at her grandfather's house instead of her own. She agreed to go to bed well before her regular bedtime without the usual fuss so that Christmas morning would come sooner. But she found that she couldn't fall asleep. She'd watched all her favorite Christmas shows on TV again, thanks to her mother's extensive collection of videos that they had brought with them to Papaw's in spite of her mother's initial reluctance to do so. Nancy had perfected the art of childhood nagging and usually got her way, especially in recent months, when her mother just lacked the energy or will to win an argument. "You sure this girl's name isn't Cindy?" asked Bobby as he peered over the side of his bed at his sister, who stuck her tongue out at him in response. Gramps smiled but continued his story without commenting. Nancy lay with her eyes squeezed shut as hard as she could get them so that Santa would know that she was trying to be a good little girl. Maybe going to bed early would make up for the little tantrum she threw when she found out that she and her mother would not be spending the holiday in their own home. She'd felt a little bad about her whining. She knew that holidays made her mother especially sad, and that being with her own father at Christmas would make it easier for Mama to deal with Daddy's absence. But still, what if Santa didn't know that she was here instead of at home? "Gramps," said Cindy, "how will Santa know how to find us?" "He always finds us here," Bobby said, annoyed by his sister's interruption. "Now be quiet and let him tell the story." Cindy pouted, but held off from further comments, and after a moment of silence, their grandfather began again. It wasn't like Nancy's mother could afford to get toys on their own anymore on just her income, as she frequently pointed out to Nancy. This was Nancy's one chance in the year to get toys as nice as all the other kids had. Papaw eventually convinced her that Santa was perfectly capable of knowing where all the children were, naughty and nice, on Christmas Eve. Try as she might, Nancy just could not make herself fall asleep. She could stand it no longer. She slid out of her bed and scooped up an armful of comic books that she had borrowed. Gramps made air quote gestures as he said the word borrowed, from her best friend Kimmy, and a flashlight that she had found when snooping in the drawers in Papaw's kitchen so that she could read under the covers. "Ha, this is about you," Bobby called down to the lower bunk, "stealing my comic books and snooping around where you don't belong."
"It is not," Cindy said angrily. "Mommy said I could read them. I didn't steal them. This isn't about me, is it, Gramps?"
Gramps only rocked without saying a word. When it was evident that the children would be quiet, he resumed the narrative. Reading helped to pass the time. In fact, Nancy was surprised when she heard the sound of her mother's and Papaw's footsteps coming up the stairs to turn in for the evening. She smiled as she realized that with her grandfather's old house now darkened and quiet, Santa could arrive at any minute with his sack full of goodies. Since this was the latest Nancy had ever been awake on Christmas Eve, the thought crossed her mind that she just might be able to sneak down into the living room, hide behind the couch, and be the only kid in the whole second grade who had actually seen Santa Claus on Christmas Eve.
"Second grade, just like you know who," said Bobby.
"Shut up," Cindy snapped. "The thought of hiding downstairs was so tempting," Gramps continued. But then Nancy shook her head as she considered the consequences of being seen by Santa. No, that would be the worst thing a kid could ever do. No point in risking that. So Nancy turned back to her comics, hoping with all her might that she would get sleepy soon. The next thing Nancy knew, she was waking up, wondering where she was. Her flashlight had rolled down to her side, illuminating the tent she had made out of her bedsheets. Confused about her surroundings, Nancy blinked and then remembered that it was Christmas Eve. She cut the light off, stuck her head out from the covers, and pulled them down to her neck and breathed in the cool, fresh air. The next time she woke up, it would be Christmas morning. But before Nancy could fall asleep again, she heard a noise coming from above her, the sound of something scraping followed by footsteps. Was that Santa's sleigh landing? Was he walking across their roof? Nancy was so excited that she couldn't breathe. Santa was on Papaw's roof. The silence was broken by the distinctive sound of heavy footsteps on the roof once again, but each single step sounded more like a hoof than a boot. "I bet that's Prancer," Nancy thought, and then only silence. Was Santa coming down the chimney? Nancy lay perfectly still in her bed, listening for the slightest sound. She didn't have to wait long before she heard a scratching that seemed to be coming from her window. That was strange. Why would Santa be outside the second story window? The scratching sound came again, but this time there was also a gentle but firm tapping, as if someone who was lying on the roof and hanging over the edge above the window was trying to get her to come. Nancy sat up in her bed and hugged her knees as she stared at the curtains covering the window, her eyes wide and her mouth open. Although they could not see each other, Bobby and Cindy sat up in their beds with matching expressions like two astonished bookends. Nancy now faced a dilemma. Should she go see if Santa wanted her to open the curtain? Did he need help in getting inside? But then again, what if it wasn't on purpose and Santa didn't want to be seen? What if Santa got mad and left without leaving the presents? Just then, the clouds in that Christmas Eve sky parted and a silhouette was cast on the curtains. This was not the familiar shape of Santa's hat and broad body, but something altogether different. Hanging upside down as if peering in the window was the distinct shape of a muscular torso with a triangular-shaped head adorned with two massive curling horns. Cindy sank down in her bed and pulled the covers up to her eyes. Bobby stared at his grandfather as though entranced. Those horns in no way resembled reindeer horns, but rather those Nancy had seen in her photo album of animals around the world that included pictures of the long, ridged horns on exotic mountain goats. Nancy gasped
and in less than a second, she had thrown off her covers and darted to the door of her bedroom. She threw open her door and ran screaming down the short hallway to her mother's room, where she fumbled with the doorknob clumsily, unable to work it due to her fear. Her grandfather was opening his door just as Nancy's mother opened hers, and Nancy flung herself against her mother and hugged her legs, shouting, "There's a monster outside my window, Mommy, the monster!" Nancy's mother led her over to the edge of her bed, where she sat down beside her while Papaw watched with a concerned frown from the open doorway. Nancy's mother reminded her daughter of the many other times they had been through similar scenes after one of Nancy's many nightmares. She consoled Nancy with the thought that this was just another of those dreams. It seemed very real, but it was really just a dream. She explained that it was natural for her to have dreams like this, that they had all been very upset since Nancy's father had died, but that it was also important to face those fears and not let them get the best of her. "That's what Mommy said to me when I had nightmares," Cindy said as she wiggled her way up higher on her pillow so that the blankets no longer covered her mouth, "after Daddy died." Bobby remained silent. Gramps nodded. "Yes, I know." Well, after a few minutes of holding her, brushing her hair with her fingers, and talking gently to her of how much fun they would have in the morning, Nancy's mother was able to walk her back to her room and tuck her back into her bed. She gave Nancy a soft kiss and exited the room, leaving the door cracked open slightly. "Nightlight, Mommy?" Nancy demanded. "We don't have a nightlight here, Nancy," her mother answered in a tired but not unkind voice that indicated it wasn't the first time she had said this. "I'll just leave the door cracked open so that you can see the light from the bathroom in the hall." Nancy stuck her lower lip out in an all-too-familiar pout, but eventually relented and settled into bed. She actually was a little comforted, but still far too excited to fall back asleep. She lay on her side so that she could look at the window, expecting and fearing to see the dreaded shadow again. She heard beds creak from her mother's and grandfather's rooms as they settled themselves back in, and before long, the only sound she heard was the occasional click as the furnace came on. The heat flowing through the vents made a comforting hum, but it also stirred the curtains in a way that Nancy found a little bit disturbing. Still, eventually, Nancy's eyes grew heavier and heavier. She didn't know how long she'd been asleep when something, another noise, woke her up. This time, though, it wasn't at the window. It was definitely coming from inside the house. She could hear footsteps in the kitchen. Soft footsteps, but heavy ones. They sounded strange and inhuman, as if someone had let in a small horse or a goat. But instead of the four-step cadence of an animal, the rhythm was that of a person stepping very gently across the tiled floor of the old house. Soon the footsteps were muffled as the visitor moved into the carpeted hall that led to the stairs. Nancy stared in horror at her door and wished now that it were closed. The muffled steps continued up the carpeted stairs, and Nancy uttered a little whimper as she heard a creak on the 13th step, a sound that all in the household knew so well. "The 13th step," Bobby said softly, "just like the steps here." Gramps nodded solemnly. Nancy's eyes were glued to the sliver of light that shone on the hallway outside her bedroom. And to her horror, a dark shadow slowly blotted out the light. Whatever this was, it was coming toward her room. Nancy pulled the covers up, intending to pull them over her head, but she stopped just at her nose, thus allowing herself to continue staring at the door. Very slowly, the door swung open, revealing the silhouette of a huge horned figure standing in the doorway. Two fiery eyes glowed from the massive head. A musky smell filled Nancy's nostrils, an odor that reminded her of her recent school trip to the petting zoo. A raspy whisper floated across the room, making Nancy shiver uncontrollably as the figure stepped into the room, dragging a large empty sack behind it. "Merry Christmas, Nancy." A soft, deep, throaty laugh filled the room.
Even Bobby was shivering under the layers of blankets as the children's grandfather rocked silently in the flickering light of the lantern.
"What happened, Gramps?" he asked in a breaking voice that betrayed the image he had hoped to project as a fearless big brother.
The next morning, Nancy's mother enjoyed her morning coffee with Papaw in the warm kitchen, surprised that Nancy was still in bed and not pestering them to begin opening presents. Eventually, she could wait no longer, and climbing the stairs with coffee mug in hand, she called out as she walked down the hall to Nancy's room, "Wake up, sleepyhead. You're going to miss Christmas altogether. Santa's going to take back all of your presents."
But when she pushed open the door, she saw that Nancy's bed was empty, and a search throughout the house and then the yard turned up no sign of the naughty little girl.
"But what happened?" asked Cindy.
Gramps just smiled at her, then stood and pushed the rocking chair back to where it normally sat. He picked up the oil lantern from the dresser and began making his exit from the room. Pausing at the doorway, he said, "Merry Christmas. Sleep tight."
"Can't you leave the lantern?" Bobby asked in a small voice. Clearing his throat, he added, "For Cindy?"
"Wouldn't be safe," Gramps answered, shaking his head. "Night, night." He shut the door behind him, leaving the children quaking in their beds with only a dim line of light from the hallway shining around the edges of the closed door. The old man slowly descended the stairs and smiled when one step creaked loudly. He made his way into the living room, set the lantern on the stone mantel, and turned the wick down, which extinguished the flame. He looked into the mirror that hung above the mantel, and the light coming from the fireplace caused his eyes to glow orange while casting deep shadows across his face. In the flickering light, his jaw and forehead grew longer, his nose more pointed. His white whiskers became coarser and stretched until they reached his waist, and horns sprouted from his forehead, curving into great spirals as they grew. As he grinned at his reflection, a long, pointed tongue slithered out from behind sharp fangs. He turned and studied the two bodies before him. An old man and a younger woman sat leaning against each other on the worn couch. Their unseeing eyes stared up toward the ceiling, and blood from ragged gashes of torn flesh on their throats soaked into their clothing. The horned creature picked up a large burlap sack from a basket that sat beside a pile of neatly stacked kindling. The clock chimed 10 times, and then all was quiet except for the soft hissing of the fire. "And to all a good night," he said softly, and he began his ascent up the steps once more. That concludes our first episode of the Dark Holidays mini-season. Up on the Rooftop is a tale found in my first horror collection, The 13th Day of Christmas and Other Tales of Yuletide Horror, which, along with my other books, can be purchased in paperback or ebook formats at gestaltmedia.com. The music for Up on the Rooftop was created and performed by Mombi Yuleman, whose other wonderfully eerie, dark, ambient soundscapes can be found at mombiyuleman.bandcamp.com. Please visit my website, davidallenboyles.com, for more information about ongoing projects. I also invite you to join us in the Dark Corners Facebook group for upcoming announcements, background information on the many future projects, and other fun dark topics shared by the delightfully twisted members. Thanks for listening. I hope to see you again soon in the Dark Corners.